Every day, boats come and go from the Flagler Ferry Terminal at Key West's historic seaport. They're carrying passengers to Dry Tortugas National Park, 70 miles west, or from Fort Myers Beach and Marco Island on Florida's Gulf Coast. In all, about 150,000 people a year are using the ferry terminal to travel to and from Key West. Like Lisa Leonard, a visitor from Jackson, Michigan, who has a timeshare in Fort Myers. She took the Key West Express to spend one night on the island.
I would do it. Again, it's a great way to get here.
And if she could take a ferry to Cuba?
Absolutely. I think it'd be great. It's a good way to experience something that you haven't before. I mean, it's just so easy to get there. Keep your bags right with you. Comfortable getting there.
Key Westers are hoping that a lot of people will feel like Leonard does.
I've been beating the drum as an elected official for 4 years and for many years before that.
This is Key West City Commissioner Tony Yanez.
It's time to rebuild what Key West and Cuba had. The cultural and historical ties that bind us are inseparable.
Yanez was born in Cuba. He left in 1960 when he was 10 years old, and he had never returned until earlier this month.
I called the other night for the entire city commission to make a goodwill trip to Havana. I'm going back at the end of May. At this point, it looks like I'm going alone, but I am going to represent the city officially this time. And I also would like to call to have a Havana delegation come to Key West.
A return to the days of daily ferry traffic between the islands is a dream for many in the Keys, even those who don't have family or cultural ties to Cuba.
All of our lives, we've talked about that moment in time when Cuba finally opens up.
Robin Smith-Martin is a business consultant who helped develop a marina near Key West.
It almost feels like you can look out over the water at night and see the lights of Havana. You can't actually do that, but being only 90 miles away, this is something we've thought about all of our lives, and it's an exciting time in Key West.
Smith-Martin worked on Stock Island Marina Village on Safe Harbor. That deep water port on the island next to Key West is seen as one of the best options for a ferry base. The Flagler Terminal, which the city owns, is another. And Smith-Martin says there's a third possibility that nobody's discussing, the Navy's pier at Truman Annex, right on Key West Harbor. The Navy currently leases the pier to the city for cruise ship docking, so it's big enough. But there could be other complications.
It's probably more of a function of optics in that allowing direct ferry service from Communist Cuba to unload at a U.S. military installation might be hard to swallow in the near term, but you know, it's a function of how hard people want to push and who their friends are in the Obama administration.
Regardless of who knows who and where it's built, it will come down to demand. Smith-Martin thinks there may be limited appeal to traveling to Cuba by ferry.
You know, there's a lot of romance about taking a boat to Havana from the Keys or from Miami, and I think a lot of people are going to do it once. And you know, the fact is, there's a lot of water between Key West and Havana. It can be very variable, you know, beautiful flat days and extremely rough days. So I think everyone's going to do it once, and then after that, they're going to look at that 45-minute plane trip and choose that as their second option.
But the biggest hurdle facing ferry service between Key West and Cuba isn't rough water in the Florida Straits. It's the lack of a customs station to receive passengers and their luggage once they get here. Doug Bradshaw is Key West's port director. He says he's heard from 6 or 7 ferry operators in the last few months asking about Key West's facilities. When Key West is your final destination, you can't just walk off the boat like the 800,000 people a year who visit Key West by cruise ship. They're visiting in the middle of their trip and they get back on their ship. With a ferry, passengers end their boat travel here, entering the country and bringing luggage. Customs has to have a place to inspect them, just like at an airport, and you have to build that place to their specifications.
And their specs run the gamut from bulletproof area out front in their waiting room to a holding cell for somebody that you know you may have to keep there for a while to the luggage. So there's a lot involved in actual construction of a facility that will meet their standards and get approved. And obviously it's costly and it's time.
Despite the current lack of facilities, Bradshaw says it still makes sense for Key West to serve as the base for ferry operations. After all, we're so much closer than Miami or Tampa.
To run from here to Cuba, especially in the winter months, it's going to be difficult for a boat just because the seas can get very rough and stuff. So I'm assuming the shorter they can make that trip, cost-wise, fuel-wise, everything, it works better in their business plan, especially if they're going to be running a large vessel. Fuel is always, whether it's cruise ships or any size vessel like this, it's always their biggest cost is fuel. So they're always looking ways to reduce that.
Between the proximity and the allure of travel between the islands, Bradshaw's confidence someone will bring ferry service to Cuba back to Key West. Just like the old days, you could start the day with a cafe con leche in Key West and spend your evening at a nightclub in Havana.
There is no reason why it cannot be that. With today's technology and the boats that I'm hearing about, 4 hours, 4.5 hours to Havana.
Again, Key West City Commissioner Tony Yanez.
Just enough time to have two mojitos, dance a little salsa, and you're in Havana.
On an island that's all about tourism and historic preservation, the future may be about the past. I'm Nancy Klingener in Key West.